The text verse I read, the last part is the famous part, "Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." It's the end of a parable about a steward or a servant who got left at home and the master went away. And the servant did what Dominique was singing about in that second verse. The servant doubted. The servant said, "The master's far away," and he changed his behavior. Began to behave a different way as a steward because he didn't think the master was coming back anytime soon. The parable before that, if you've got a red print Bible, it's all red pretty much, except for one verse I'm going to call attention to in a minute too. But the parable before that was about the servant, the steward of the servant that was ready when the master came back, whether it was in the morning, the evening, or the afternoon, and the master came and ministered to them. And Jesus said, "Be ye therefore ready also," verse 40, "be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." And I want to read verse 41. If you got a red letter Bible, the only black letters in there when Peter asked a question. Peter said unto him, "Lord," verse 41, "speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all?" And he asked a question, and then Jesus answered it with another parable. And the question was, is this for everybody listening? Is it just for some of us? Is it for right now? Is it for later? And the way that Jesus answered the question was to talk about a faithful and a wise steward. So in verse 42, he said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you," and Jesus said to you, I'm talking to you now, just so you know, "of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Verse 47, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So Jesus said the answer to your question is, what kind of servant are you? You answer the question for yourself. It applies to you if you are a steward that trusts that the master is coming back, a steward that knows he's not the owner, he's the manager, he is the one that gets to take what the owner has, and he's the one that gets to do what the owner would do if he were here. If you're that kind of servant, then this story's for you. He described a faithful steward. I give a poor example, but an employee. My first job was at McDonald's, and when I first started taking orders at McDonald's, sometimes I would react when somebody would give an order and they change something. They want mayonnaise instead of ketchup, or they want extra tartar sauce, or they want something different. My response at first was to react and say, "Oh, that's different," or "Ooh, that's gross." And I soon learned as a employee of McDonald's that I wasn't supposed to respond the way that Adam would respond. I was supposed to, as much as lieth in me, the customer is always right, and say, "Well, that's what you would like, and we can make that happen, and we can take your order and get it right." I went from McDonald's. I moved on up to JCPenney, and I got to work in the shoe department. And again, when I started out, we had those little Brannick, the measurement devices for the feet. So some people would come in and they'd say, "This is my shoe size. I would like this size of shoe." And I would look at their old shoe and I'd say, "This shoe is pretty stretched out. Are you sure that that's the right size?" Or I'd look at their foot and say, "Your foot looks pretty big. Are you sure that's the right size?" And I'd say, "We can measure it. I mean, we don't have to guess. We can measure your foot." And after the first couple of days, my manager saw me doing this and he said, "Come with me." He said, Let me take the shoe. Let me take the size." And then he took me back to the back and he said, "All right, they said they're this size. You want to get a half and a whole size bigger, and you want to get a half and a whole size smaller, and you want to get the size that they asked for." And he said, these aren't your shoes. You just work here. If you want to sell a pair of these shoes, you don't start out by questioning what size they're in. And he said, you take all of these out there. Then they see that you're ready to work for them. And then they'll probably end up at least buying one pair of shoes. And I learned that it wasn't my opinion that mattered. It wasn't my thought process that was important, because I wasn't Ronald McDonald or Mr. McDonald. I wasn't JCPenney. I was an employee. I was a steward, and I was working for someone else. And that's, a poor example, because we're talking about being stewards of what God has given to us. But it puts you in the mindset of it's not your stuff. It's not yours to decide what happens with it. It's God's. And we've been given much. I would like to remind you tonight, unto whom much has been given. All of us deserve more stripes than we get. All of us are in that category of we know. They talked about those that got few stripes. They might have earned more, but since they didn't know, they received few stripes. I'd say if you've been around here for a while, you've received instruction, you've received the knowledge, you've received correction many times, and we are those that received fewer stripes than we deserve. We are all stewards and servants of the Master. The Apostle Paul talked about that he was counted faithful in 1 Timothy. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This is the same passage where he's called himself the chiefest of sinners. Who before, this is Paul talking about himself, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I was one of those that maybe got fewer stripes. I did some of this stuff ignorantly. But God not only gave me less punishment than I deserve, he gave me more grace than I deserve. He said, I was that way. I was the blasphemer and the persecutor, but God's love and his grace wouldn't let me stay that way. Again, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. We've all been given much. We talked about it this morning. I know we talked about it in Sunday school. We've been given salvation. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but it talks about in Romans 6, it talks about being servants of sin. We were servants of sin, but when we were servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. Now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All sin leads to death, and we have salvation, not because of how bad the sin was, but because of how great a Savior we have. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we have, unto whom much has been given, we have the Master's salvation. Again, I was talking to the kids in junior church, and I said, I can't offer you salvation by Adam, and you would not want to take it. It would not get you very far. I can't offer you salvation. I can tell you about God's salvation. I can be a steward of the grace of God, tell you if you are a sinner, you deserve punishment in hell, but Jesus paid that punishment for you when he died on the cross, shed his blood, rose again, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. None of that comes from me. I can tell you about it, but it's not mine. I can bring you all the sizes of shoes. None of them are mine. But I can tell you that God's salvation is given to each of us. His mercy is given to us. His wisdom, the Bible says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Again, we've been given much. Of unto whomsoever much has been given, we've been given his grace. Again, I go back to the Apostle Paul, because I like I got all the testimonies tonight, but some of the testimonies touched on it tonight, that it was not a perfect person called into the ministry. He was the chiefest of sinners, and he said in Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Again, Paul said if it was up to us, we didn't make it. We fell short. But it's not up to us. It's up to God. It's not up to the master. It's not up to the servant. It's up to the master. It's not up to the steward. It's up to the master. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. Again, he gives wisdom liberally. He gives regeneration and renewing abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God is not a stingy God. He gives us more grace than we ever deserved. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Remember when the prodigal son came back home and he said, just let me be a servant. Let me be just the lowest of the low. Let me be a servant. And the father said, no, you're my son. You're not a servant. And the father brought him back into the family. We become heirs according to the hope of eternal life because of what God did for us. We've been given much. We've been given a great salvation that's not ours. It's his. We've been given great mercy that's new every morning. It's not our mercy. It's his. We've been given great wisdom if we ask for it. But it's not our wisdom. It's his wisdom. And we've been given great grace. Again, it's not our grace. It's his. So, a reminder, what I said at the beginning. A steward is somebody that takes care of somebody else's stuff. Somebody else's resources. They know that they don't own it. It's not their possessions. But they act in the master's stead. They do what their best training, their best will. They know the will of the master. They try to do with what they have what the master would do if he were home. A good servant acts like the master could be home any time. He lives like the master is home, even though he may feel sometimes that the master is far away. He never acts on that. He never says, hey, it's a party. I'm going to start whipping on people and getting drunk. And he never acts that way, even if he feels that way sometime. He knows the Lord's will. In the verses that we read, it says that even the wicked servant knew what the will of the Lord was, and he went and did something else. But a good steward knows the Lord's will, and that he is faithful to do that will. Again, not his resources, not his wealth, not his property, but he acts in such a way that he does what the master would do and tries to do the will of the one that left him in charge as a steward, as a servant. Therefore, not as the owner, but as stewards, unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. We've been given this. Now this is required, and we'll be done. We have a responsibility, not again because of how great we are, because none of us are, but we have a responsibility because of how great our Savior is to tell sinners about the Savior. This may seem deep, but sinners sin. Okay, so I'll repeat that again. Sinners sin. A lot of times, I'm guilty of this myself, a lot of times we're more apt to give the gospel to people that we don't think sin that much. We look around and we look for somebody that might be the most receptive and that has the least amount of things that need to change in their life, and we present a version of the truth of God's word in such a way that we think they'll accept it because they're not that bad a sinner to start out with, in our opinion. But again, we're not treating people in the way we would do it. We're doing what the master would do if he were here. Sinners sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if it's our responsibility to tell sinners about the Savior, there's going to be some sinners that we think are worse than others that we may not want to tell. But the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, we have that responsibility. I use the example of Jonah. He was given a responsibility to accomplish. He was supposed to go to Nineveh. You know the story. He didn't go right away. He disobeyed. He finally, out of being forced by getting thrown up on the beach and thrown back into Nineveh, he finally went and did what God told him to do. He preached that they needed to repent from their sin. God had mercy. He preached that he needed to repent from their sin and that God was going to destroy their city. God saw that they turned from their sin, and God had mercy and did not forgive them. And then Jonah, the Bible says, Jonah was he was displeased and angry. And if you read the book of Jonah, it never really says that Jonah agreed with God, that what God did was right in sparing Nineveh. It says that God grew a gourd when Jonah sat down after he found out that God wasn't going to destroy Nineveh. God grew a little plant, a gourd, over him, and then God let the thing die. And then Jonah got mad that his shade was gone. And then God asked him some questions. He said, you care more about this gourd that you couldn't get to grow and that you didn't get to die. You care more about your shade than you do whether these people live or die. And he ends the book with a question. We never know if Jonah finally got it. We never know if Jonah finally turned around and said, you know, I was wrong. I had no compassion. I had no sympathy, empathy for these people. We never hear what happened to Jonah. But God still used him to get the message. God still used the message of Jonah to get the people of Nineveh to turn from their sin and to trust God. And sometimes as stewards, we look at sinners and say, if it was up to me, I would not forgive that sin. But it's not up to us. Our Savior says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. As stewards, even if you look at the poor example of Jonah, even in that case, the message was still delivered, even up till the end, by a person that might not necessarily have believed they deserved the message. But Jonah was the messenger. We have a responsibility to tell sinners about a Savior. We have a responsibility to magnify our Master. As a steward, we have a responsibility to magnify our Master and to humble ourselves. The bad steward said, the Master's not coming home today, so I'm going to act like I'm in charge, and I'm going to take over. I'm going to beat and drink and do whatever I want, and they say, the Master's not coming home today. A good steward says, I'm going to live like the Master is always home. A good steward honors the Master even when he does seem far away. I want you to think about, we're not to the end of the year yet, but it's hard, we're almost to the end of the year. I want you to think about this last year. As a representative of Christ, have you increased or decreased your representation? All of us fall in this trap. We start to say, well, in my opinion, if you're asking me, I'm going to tell you what I think. And compare that to, well, here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus commanded us to do. Think of yourself as a always broadcasting radio station. I know that's an old reference, but if you're always broadcasting something, you don't have a choice of shutting down. I heard a story one time that there was like four different styles of radio programming in one broadcast building, and one guy was responsible for getting all the music started, and he accidentally played a inappropriate rock song on a gospel station, and then the system crashed, and it began to broadcast that song for about 8 or 10 hours just over and over and over again, and anyone tuning into that station was receiving not the message they were planning on receiving. And all of us are broadcasting something all the time. What we broadcast is our opinion as compared to what the Master has told us to tell? Again, how much of it is my opinion of what shoe you should wear or what hamburger you should buy instead of what the Master tells us to give? The Bible says in James, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In the same way, we need to practice what we preach. If we are a steward of the will of God, we will represent God and not our own opinions. And again, it's just a question to ask yourself, how much have I grown in my representing God in the last year, and how much have I shrank back, and I've stolen his airtime, I've stolen his airspace, and I've put my own opinions in front of his own. We have a responsibility to tell sinners about a Savior. We have a responsibility to magnify the Master and to humble ourselves. And we have a responsibility to be so doing. Jesus said, blessed is that servant whom the Lord findeth so doing. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We need to practice that which we preach. The Bible says that whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Again, the book of James talking about just not hearing it, but responding and doing the word of God. So I want you to think about just for this next week, this might be a person in your life that you have received the grace and love of God, but you have not shown it to this person for whatever reason. You may have treated them in a different way. You may have treated them the Bible talks about partiality, treating them differently than those that you say you love. We have been hearers of the word of God. We've been hearers about the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the peace of God. And as we approach this time of year, think about what you have received. Unto whomsoever much has been given, of him shall be much, much required. That which you have received, those blessings that God put in your life, the things that both the trials and the blessings, the things that didn't require a struggle or a trouble to receive. God, you've given it to me for a reason. You've made me the keeper of this truth for a reason. What do you want me to do with it? What's required? What should I be doing with what God has given to me? Again, Jesus said, blessed is that servant whom the Lord findeth so doing. We're going to pray together, have a short time of invitation. If there's something that God's spoken to your heart about, we'll give you a chance to pray about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. If we stop and think about it, we're overwhelmed. If we stop and think about why God would choose to use any of us, we're speechless. We don't understand. And then we turn around and realize what you've given, the responsibility that you've given to us, to be the example, to be the conduit, the one that says, hey, can I tell you, I'm a nobody, but can I tell you about somebody that died on the cross, gave his life for your sins? Not so you could stay in sin, not so you could stay a servant to sin, but so you could be free from that bondage. I know for sure that not just that you got a home in heaven, but that you have victory in this life right now, and not because of anything that you've done, but because of what Jesus did for you. And we get to be that messenger. We get to be that steward. Whether we always agree with you or not, we don't. It's our responsibility to tell. It's our responsibility to do. So I pray, Lord, you help us. You challenge us again to say it's not up to me. It's not my opinion. It's what God says. I pray that we would do that each and every day of our life, especially as we come into the end of this year, that we'd look back and say, how much time have we given to representing our master? What kind of servant, what kind of steward am I? I pray you bless us tonight. Bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.